enjoy that good singing this morning? Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Todd. Take your Bible this morning, turn with me to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. I had a message this morning, kind of a New Year theme kind of deal, and I just felt the Lord leading in another direction once I got here this morning. And I want to look at some familiar scripture, some we've preached from several times before. There's not much in the book of Joshua that I hadn't preached from several times before. But I love the book of Joshua. One commentator said that Joshua was the Ephesians of the Old Testament. And I surely do love it. If you're familiar with the book of Joshua, Joshua picks up where Moses left off. You know, Moses led God's children out of Egypt across the Red Sea and all that stuff. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and then Moses died. And in Joshua chapter number 1, God appoints this man Joshua to lead his children on to where Moses could not. So he leads them into the promised land. And again, God parts some waters and allows them to cross the River Jordan on dry land. And that's where we are in Joshua chapter number 4. So let's pick up and we'll read several verses of scripture this morning. The Bible said, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. And command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." He said, "These stones shall be a memorial for the children of Israel for how long?
Forever.
I don't know whether you realize it or not, but as we live our lives, we're building some type of memorial. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
We're building some kind of memorial in our lives. My wife and I and my children have been to Washington, D.C., and I love going to D.C. and seeing all the historical things. But one thing that Washington is full of is memorials. There's the Vietnam Memorial. That's my favorite place to go. There's the Korean War Memorial. There's the World War I, World War II. There's the Lincoln Memorial. I mean, they remember everything in Washington. Amen? And they spend great amounts of money. I'm amazed when I go and you stand at these monuments. I mean, some of them are larger than this building. They're huge. And they were just meant to remember somebody. I don't know if you've ever been to the Lincoln Memorial, but when you stand up in that thing and look up at that, it's awesome. It's humongous. It's way bigger than this building. And so people go to great lengths so that something will be remembered. And that's what's going on in the book of Joshua. He's going to great lengths to see to it that something that God did in their lives would be remembered.
Amen?
Amen? You think about people's lives. I said, you're building a memorial. Somebody's going to remember you for something.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
I taught in our Bible class several years ago. We taught on the heroes of the faith. I taught on men such as Charles Spurgeon. I taught on men such as Dwight Moody. I taught on men such as Billy Sunday and Sam Jones, some of the great, great preachers. I took Brother William. I don't know where he's at. There he is. I took Brother William. We went to a funeral, Brother Greg Godfrey's mom, and we were coming back through Cartersville, and I took him to Sam Jones's house. Brother Charles and I have been there, and Sam Jones was an old circuit-riding Methodist preacher way back in the early 1900s. And how many of you have heard of Sam Jones? Quite a few. How many of you have heard of the Ryman Auditorium? The Grand Ole Opry. Did y'all know what that was built for? Yes, sir. Mr. Ryman was a railroad tycoon. Sam Jones came to Nashville, Tennessee to preach every year. And the railroad tycoon's wife said, "Honey, why don't we build Brother Sam a building to preach in when he comes?" It wasn't built for Hank Williams. It was built for Sam Jones. Amen? So these men are remembered. And, you know, I studied these guys' lives and I taught about their lives. And you know what? We didn't read much very bad about them, did we, Brother Freddie? We read about Billy Sunday's past and what he was. But, you know, he's not remembered for what he was or what he was before he was saved. He was remembered for the good that he did in his life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter how bad he was before he was a Christian. What mattered was what he was after he was a Christian. And nobody remembers the bad. Why? Because the good that he did far outweighed the bad. Amen. Would you agree? If Charles Manson, how many of you have heard of him? If Charles Manson were to get out of prison today and fed hungry people all over the world, he would always be remembered for the murders that he committed. He would always be. How many of you would trust him? You would trust him? I figured you would. If he got saved, could God save him?
Yes.
Sure he could.
Yes.
Would you want him sitting in your pew? Come on, be honest. I'd be a little leery myself. Why? Because he'll always be remembered for the horrible things that he did, even before he was saved. Now Joshua tells these people, "I want you to get you, every man, a stone. And I want you to put that stone in the very place where we're going to sleep tonight, so that when your children come by and say, 'What are these stones?' then you will have an occasion to say, 'Hey, we put those there because of what God did for us when he brought us across Jordan.'"
Amen.
Amen. When I was a little boy, I would ask my grandfather about different things that he had. And some of the things were very old. And he would say, "Well, this was this." And you know, he'd tell me a little story behind it. But here's where I'm going this morning. What are you building? What are you building? When people, in years to come, when your great, great, great grandchildren that you will never meet see your picture, and they'll say, "Mama, who is this?" What will be the story they tell? What will be the story they tell? A little boy stood in the vestibule a while back, and he looked up at my picture, and he said, "I know you, but who is that?" And he looked at Brother J.M., and I had an opportunity to tell him, "Son, that's the man who stood where I stand for 20 some odd years. That's the faithful man of God who I am trying to walk in his path and fill in his shoes." Hey, what I'm asking you this morning is, what are you building with your life? What will people remember you for? Down at your workplace, when you're dead and gone and your name comes up, what will be said about you when they mention your name? Will it be good? Would it be good? I hope if I died today, somebody, at least somebody, would have something good to say. Amen? And I hope they wouldn't have to make it up. I hope it could be true. I'm sure Billy Sunday, Sam Jones, Charles Spurgeon, all those great men, I'm sure they had faults.
Yes.
Even after they were saved. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I'm sure they had character flaws, somewhat. Charles Spurgeon was a manic depressive. Very few people know that. They know the volumes that he's written. They know the great works that he's done. We've all got faults. But my prayer is that our good that the Lord is doing in and through our lives would overshadow those faults. Yeah. Amen? Amen? To build a godly memorial takes three things. I'm going to give them to you and we'll go to the house. Number one, it takes dedication. It takes dedication. If we're going to leave something good behind for our children, for our church, we are going to have to get dedicated to the task. We're going to have to make up our mind. Good memorials, they don't just happen by accident. Amen. You know what it takes? It takes work. It takes work. Look at verse number 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Listen, man, he said, get you a stone up on your shoulder. You know what that was? That was a big rock. It wasn't a little bitty stone. They didn't go into the river and pick up pebbles and set them aside. Something that could be kicked aside or swept away in a rainstorm. Man, they got big rocks. And you know what that took? It took hard work to go down into that muddy riverbed and pick up those big stones and set them up. Hey, we're going to have to be dedicated to the task. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes the task is not easy. Amen. As I watch the economy, and somebody asked me the other day what I thought was going to happen. I think it's going to get worse. I honestly do. I don't care what the president-elect says. I don't care what the government says. We're in too deep. We're in too deep. What are you saying? It's going to take even more dedication for those buses to roll. If I could be remembered for anything, I would like for somebody after I'm dead and gone to say, that guy loved the bus ministry. That guy loved these bus kids. If he didn't do anything else, he loved these bus kids and he fought for the bus ministry and he wouldn't let it die no matter what. But you know what that's going to take? It's going to take dedication. Amen. With so many people in our church out of work and our offerings being half of what they should be, it's tough. It's tough. We have a gas bill right now, just gasoline, not gas to heat the building, just gasoline to run those buses up and down the road, $2,000. Yeah, that's what it takes to get you here. $2,000. Maybe somebody would like to pay that before you go home today. Hey, well, it got quiet then, didn't it? That'd be a good Sunday, wouldn't it? We'd just pass out bills, amen? How many's in for that? I got one, amen, two, hallelujah. Go get the bills, Tom. It's going to take dedication. It's easy to do something for God when everything's going great. It's easy. It's easy to say, oh, yes, we love the bus ministry when there's a pile of money in the bank. It's easy to do these things when everything's going good. But, boy, when it gets tough, it's going to take dedication. It's going to take some old-fashioned stick-to-itness, amen. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take dedication. Listen, are you dedicated? Are you dedicated? What is it you do for God? Are you dedicated to your Sunday school class? Let me ask you, let me put it to you this way. What would it take to make you quit? Could I make you mad enough to give up your Sunday school class? That shows your level of dedication. Sister Edwina's here this morning. She's back in the nursery. She said, Brother Eddie, I'm here today, but I'm in the nursery. She'd been driving that same bus for, I think, 13, maybe 14 years. A long time. Do you know how many times I've hurt her feelings? Several. Do you know how many times we've disagreed? Several times. She was upset at me about something once back years ago, and I tried to apologize to her. She said, Brother Eddie, I'll be okay. That's what she said. She said, I'm mad, but I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Don't you even worry about it. She said, you couldn't run me out of here.
Yeah.
That's what she said. You know what that is, friend? That's dedication.
Yes.
That's dedication. I mean, she was mad at me and probably had good reason to be. Amen.
Yeah.
Y'all can say amen right there. I mean, I had hurt her feelings. I had done her wrong in some kind of way. I don't even remember what it was now. But she said, I'll be all right. I'll get over it. I said, sis, please don't give up your bus. She said, I ain't quitting my bus, right? I don't do that for you. Are y'all listening? She said, I'm not going to quit my bus ride. I don't do that for you. I do that for the Lord. And He ain't never made me mad. And He ain't never done me wrong. And He never will do me wrong. And He never will make me mad. Hallelujah. That's dedication, boys and girls. And we got to get dedicated to what we're doing if we're going to make it.
Amen.
And if we're going to stick it out. It takes dedication. That dedication was the work. Are you willing to keep on even when it gets hard? Come on. Are you willing to teach that class when they don't want to listen? I'm willing to preach while they sit here and sleep. Wake him up, Brother Greg. Good morning. Y'all all right? It's not nap time. It's church time. Amen. Take a nap when you get home. I'm going to. It takes dedication. They used big stones. They could have used little rocks. But they got something people could see. When we leave this thing, I want something left behind that people can see. I don't want it to be, oh, that's the church that Eddie White built or Charles Dyer built or Freddie Young built. I want it to be, boy, that's where God did something great. That's where God did something great in Villarica, Georgia. And He used Eddie White and He used Charles Dyer and He used Freddie Young and He used these men to do it. And boy, they allowed God to use them and they were dedicated to the task that God gave them to do. Where is your level of dedication? Do you ever check yourself out? How dedicated? How serious am I? What if we were as serious about serving God as some of us are deer hunting? I ain't in here by myself, Emma. What if we were as serious about serving God as some of you ladies are about getting a tan? Come on. Where is our level of dedication? I'll be honest with you. I've checked mine. And if I'm real honest, I'm not quite as dedicated as I'd have you think I am. We okay? What is your level of dedication? That was His work. Look at verse number 6. Verse number 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Listen. It's going to take dedication. That's his work. But it's going to take desire. That's His will. It's going to take desire. He wanted people to remember what God had done.
Amen.
It's going to take desire. Do you remember when you had a desire to come to church?
Amen.
Have you ever come to church when it was just duty?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes,
y'all wake up. Have you ever came to church when you just felt like you're supposed to? You didn't really feel like it. You didn't really want to. You just went because that's what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Have you ever taught your Sunday school class out of duty?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Have you ever run your bus route out of duty?
Amen.
You ever visited on Saturday when you'd really rather done something else? And you just did it out of duty? We're all going to get there. But we shouldn't stay there.
That's right.
There ought to be desire.
That's right.
There ought to be desire. I was thinking Brother William was announcing the the watch night service earlier, and he was talking about all the preachers that'll be preaching and how I'll get a lot of sermon ideas. That's very funny, which I probably will. But amen. I got a motto. You say it, it's mine. Amen. I got to preach in Pennsylvania. I got to preach down in Florida this coming up month. And yeah, I need some good material. Amen. I'll take it anywhere I can get it. But I was thinking while he was announcing that, every year I don't preach on the New Year's Eve service. I let all our preacher boys preach. By the end of that service, I want to preach so bad I can't stand it. By the end of that service, I want to preach so bad. I mean, it's just... Why? There's a desire. There's a desire. And when I see somebody else doing it, it makes me want to do it. Amen. Bus worker, when you see somebody else's bus come in with 10 new kids on it, 50-something riders, does that do something to you? Does it bother you on Sunday night when Brother Robbie gives the bus award and he gives it to somebody other than you? I know you're not doing it for a piece of paper. I know you're not doing it for somebody to applaud or clap their hands. But when we see God blessing in somebody else's ministry, it ought to create a desire and a hunger for us to do more in what it is that we're doing for God. Amen. Amen. How many of you couldn't go to sleep last night because you were excited about your Sunday school lesson? Amen. I'm going to put the sign-up sheet out here tonight, boys, for the preachers for Wednesday night. But I just thought I'd tell you this. Brother Jeremy Moody Googled us on the internet and found our church. Came and got saved. I'll baptize him tonight. Tuesday night we had our service on Tuesday instead of Wednesday, and he came to me after the service. He said, "When are you putting out the sign-up sheet?" I said, "It'll be out there Wednesday night when you get to church. He said, "I know I just got saved a few weeks ago and I hadn't even got baptized yet." He said, "But there's something burning." He said, "Would it be okay if I sign up and say something?" I said, "Buddy, you better know it'll be okay." You know what it is? There's a desire. God has put something in him and God has done something for him. And there's a desire to tell it to other people. Amen. Are you still excited about what God's given you to do? Amen. CJ, probably all of you don't even know his name. Ugly, bald-headed man. Sitting right down here. Amen. Yeah, Jason said amen to that. That's a friend right there, brother. Some of you probably didn't even notice how clean the church was this morning. CJ comes when ain't nobody here. Him and his little wife, and they just clean and work.
Amen.
He drove me nuts. For a month, wanting a key to the door. "Brother, I need a key. I need a key. I need a key." I ain't never seen nobody excited about vacuuming the floor. But CJ's excited. He has a desire to do something for God. You know what he did? He looked around and he said, "Maybe I can't preach the message. Maybe I don't teach the Sunday school class. Maybe I don't run a bus, but I can push a vacuum cleaner up and down the floor. Glory to God. I'm excited about doing something for the Lord." You know what that is? That's desire.
Yes,
that's desire. I love it when people just sit and go, what can I do?
Yeah.
I want to do something.
Amen.
What can I do? Where do I fit? Somebody asked me that had joined our church. They said, "Preacher, I want to get involved. What do you want me to do?" I'm like, "What suits you?" You know, I'm not going to put David Connell in the nursery. The man hates kids. That would be ridiculous. Find you a spot that fits and jump in. Amen?
Amen.
Find you something that you like and get it. You love children? Man, we got more kid stuff going on you can shake a stick at.
Amen.
I mean, we got Patch Club and Pee Wee Club. We got Children's Church. We got Junior Church. And we got Nursery.
Amen.
Amen. That's a ministry.
Yeah.
How many of you ladies have a desire to work the nursery? Well, I'll be. I got two. Hallelujah. There's somebody who enjoys changing your young'un's dirty diaper. I can just see him back there. Woo! What a blessing. His dedication was his work. His desire was his will. It's what he wanted. It's what he wanted. What do you want? Do you know what some people want to do? They want to sit on the back row and pray I never notice it. Some people want to go to a church where nothing is ever expected of them. I'm just here for the preaching. Or I'm just here for the singing. Don't ask me to do anything. Why? Because I don't want to. It's not that I'm not able. It's not that I have no talent. It's not that there aren't some things that I could do. I just don't want to. We make a lot of excuses, don't we? I do. I can find you an excuse. I'm a professional at it. I'll find you an excuse for why I ain't doing something. Amen. But if we got real honest with ourselves and real honest with God, we just don't want to. Well, I'd go to visitation. Well, but I just don't want to. A lot of people can't handle honesty. It's got to be a desire. It's going to take dedication, but there's got to be a desire. We've got to want it. It kills me every time I hear one of these preacher boys say, man, I'd give anything if I knew the Bible like Brother Freddie and like Brother Charles. You don't want to. It's just that simple. How many times do you read it through in a year? I don't see how he does it. We go somewhere, Brother Charles, and we're going down the road. He's in the back seat. I cannot read and ride in an automobile. He does. He knows that Bible because he lives in it. Y'all okay? Amen. Hey, something about that thing. He don't read it. I'm sure there's times when he makes himself do it. But he must like it. He must really enjoy reading the Bible. Yeah. You ladies get them old stupid novels. Have you ever got one you just couldn't put it down? My mother-in-law got me reading them things one time. I'm not talking about romance, I'm talking about murder and stuff like that. Okay, let's clarify that. I wasn't reading no romance book, amen? That didn't work. I'm honest, it wasn't. And you read that thing and you go, I know I got to go to sleep. One more chapter. Come on, can I get a witness? You're dying to know what's going to happen. You're dying to see what's coming next. Have you ever read through the Old Testament and go, my, man, these children of Israel, is there any hope for this bunch? Man, I got to see what's coming next. Man, can you believe what God did right here in this chapter? Man, what's he going to do next? And then you get to Matthew and you find out. Woo! Yeah, there's hope for him. His name's Jesus. And then you go all the way up to the crucifixion and you see the Lord hanging at Calvary. How can you stop there? Yeah. And you go, my goodness, what? They're going to put him in a borrowed tomb. What's next? Yeah. Oh, he gets up. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And then you find yourself in the book of Acts and you watch him going up.
Yeah,
wow.
Amen.
And then you hear him say, this same Jesus.
Yeah,
shall come again in like manner.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Let's see if there's something in here about that. There's got to be a desire for it. I wonder how many of us every year, how many of you make New Year's resolutions? Come on. How many of you stick to them? That's what I thought. I do too. I make them every year. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Maybe the first week. How many of you have ever made a New Year's resolution you're just going to read the Bible all the way through? You know, most Christians only are familiar with the book of Genesis. Because that's where they start every year. They get through the flood and they're done. You know what happens? If you miss one day, you're toast. Amen. There's got to be a desire for it. You got to want to know what's in there. You've got to want to know what's in there. And that takes desire. Dedication was His work. Desire was His will. And then look at verse number 20. And we'll close. Oh, I ain't even in Joshua no more. Y'all hang on. Verse number 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. We saw His dedication and His desire. But if we're going to leave a godly memorial, there's going to have to be some dependability. We're going to have to be dependable. I like it when I can count on you. I like it when you can count on me. But I think it's better when God can count on us all. If this thing gets real tough, stay with me. I know this will get twisted and warped, and I'm on the radio and all that. Say this economy gets real, real bad, and there's more than 15 of you or so that are out of work, and we lose this building. And we have to meet in some farmer's chicken house. Will you be there? Come on, y'all, talk to me. I'm trying to get some accountability out of it. I want to know, are you going to be there? If we have to put up army tents and somebody's pasture can account, will you be dependable? Somebody got mad at me one day because I gave a certain position to somebody else other than them. And I didn't say it to them. I may be now. I'm not sure if they're here today or not. But I said it to myself. I didn't give you the job because I can't count on you now. God gave Joshua a job to do. Why? Because He knew He could count on him. Oh, I wish I could do this or I wish I could do that. Are you dependable? Can you be trusted? Can you be counted on? I didn't wonder if the church was going to be clean this morning. Why? Man, that guy's dependable right there. We used to have a cleaning list and ladies rotated. He said, I don't want them ladies cleaning this church. He said, I want to do it all.
Yeah, amen.
Wow. Man, that's dependable, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. He came by my office this morning. He said, is your door always locked? I said, when I ain't here. He said, I wanted to get in, vacuum your floor. 16 years pastoring this church. Do you know how many times I have been asked, can I get in your office to vacuum your floor? I don't remember. Bunzaline may have, but I just don't remember. Wow. Dependability. I want the Lord to be able to count on me. If there's something that needs done, whether it's changing the sign out front, holding the door for a lady coming in out of the rain, whatever. I want God to know, hey, I'll be there like a hair in a biscuit, buddy. I ain't going nowhere. You can count on me. Amen? What are you leaving behind? What kind of memorial are you building with your life? What will your children remember? Your co-workers, your friends? When they think about you after you're gone? Something to think about, isn't it? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Todd, if y'all would, y'all come. Miss Elizabeth, get us a song. I preached from this passage one time, and I titled the sermon, Find You a Rock. Anybody remember that? Find You a Rock. finds you a rock. What are you saying? Finds you something. Finds you something to build. Finds you something to do. Finds you somewhere to be. You know what? It wouldn't be a bad testimony to leave behind. Just that you were faithful to church. Just that you were faithful to church. People say, I don't know if they ever missed. They were always there. Man, that's a good testimony. Amen. I'd like to be remembered for being faithful. Some of you will be remembered because you can cook. Can I get a witness, Sister Ashley? Are they still bringing you food? Why? They've been taking food to that girl's house for over a year. Our ladies, since the day she was diagnosed with cancer, they've been taking food to her house. She'll never forget that. Especially those of you who can't cook. So, oh no, so-and-so's coming today. No, I'm kidding. That'll never be forgotten. Some of you will be remembered because you stopped by a funeral home. Put your arm around somebody who was grieving and just said, I love you. You'll be remembered. I don't even know how to give the invitation. Except maybe to say, why don't you come and ask God, what could you do that would leave a lasting impression on this earth before He takes you out? You mind the Lord this morning. God's speaking to your heart. You just come. Y'all go ahead and sing whenever you're ready.
Hallway. He reached for the bathroom door, fell over dead. I don't think he planned that. I don't think he had any idea when he got out of his vehicle in the parking lot that he'd never make it to the service. He got as far as the men's restroom. What if this was the only day we had? Y'all go ahead and sing another verse of that. God's speaking to your heart this morning.